One, two. is a sound I love to hear. It's the sound of the Savior's robe as he walks into the room where people pray, where we hear praises, he hears faith. There is a sound I love to hear. It's the sound of the Savior's robe as he walks into the room where people pray.
Attention. change in the air. For the ground is dry, but the clouds are overhead. When I'm a singing again. In the grave now and dance like you were young. You did not have to live in chains now. There's a key within your song. So leave the past where it belongs, child, and take a leap into the light. Come find. Get up and rise.
Jesus lives in me. For I was dead in sin, but I woke up to see the light.
Into my soul, who can spin the world around and hold me ever close? Who can search the depths of me and love me to the core? Controls the world I see and walks me through it all. No one but you. No.
In the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Yeah. gift of love could I offer to a king? What weight or worth could be held within my offering? When he alone is worthy, a glory song is inscribed upon.
Okay. Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thanks, Royce. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. Good morning to Zoom. So I remember is I had a look at the screen last week to see who was there, walked down here and promptly forgot who was there. So I know Trevor and Marion are there, Gail, Graham and Maureen. Welcome to those people on Zoom. Is welcome along to the rest of you here this morning. What a great place to be. Is we've got Anne visiting from Perth up the back. We've got Mandy here with us. We're sorry about your loss, but welcome to church this morning. And it's lovely that you're here with us. You two, you want special mention? Okay, all right. So Annie would like us to know that she's here as well. Okay. Joe's here. We know Joe's here. Welcome. Okay, we can kick off now. That's really good. Thanks, Joe. But as we begin our praise and worship, do you realise that irrespective of where you come from, whatever's happened, whether you're joyful today, whether you're a bit sad, whether there's been a bit of things, is that praise and worship is the greatest thing we do because it gives us the offensive weapon of faith. All right, it's not something that you're going to do, you know, because you're feeling right or you're feeling good. It's your offensive weapon, faith that Jesus has finished the work. And we stand up and praise him and give him glory. All right, so that's what we're doing this morning. So welcome to church on behalf of Pastor Julie, because she's going to do lots of things here in a little while. Okay, so let's just praise and worship our living and amazing God.
King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy.
trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Come on, every voice.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak and made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is the Lord, Lord.
Thank you, God, that you're our cornerstone. And when we anchor ourselves to you, we can go through any storm. Father, that's an amazing song. And we just thank you, Lord, for those beautiful words that remind us that when we go through the storms in life, that we can do it if we anchor onto you. So I hope that each one of us here today is anchored in Christ. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Well, this is a time in our service when we allow people that are regular members of our church to come and bring a word, a gift or something. And I was reading this morning, in it actually is scriptural. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and it talks about order in the church. And it says if someone's got a hymn or a psalm or a prophecy, they could bring it forward. It suggests two or three, even a message in tongues. But if it's a message in tongues, it has to be interpreted in front of the church. So they're good guidelines, aren't they, to keep order in the church, because God's a God of order. So today, if you're a member of our church and if you fit into that category this morning, and if God has given you something, I'd invite you to come out now and to share it with the church. Thanks, Jill.
Just a scripture that I believe that the Lord was saying. It's that same thing about keeping our eyes and our vision on the Lord. Psalm 2. Why do the peoples, the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let's break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them and then he rebukes them in his anger. But what I believe he was saying was, get our perspective right. Yes, stuff will come and there's stuff coming all around us in the storm, but get our perspective right about how huge he is, how wonderful our God is, and what he has done to save us and to save the peoples of the world.
Amen. Christopher.
So this morning, thanks to my youngest son, I've started my Sunday journey at about 6:30 or so. which is fine, because I had been inspired by African worship and I put it on this morning, you know, just to get him dancing and moving, because he's busy and who knows, that's good for you. So this morning, the one that come on first, and I was really excited because it really lit something in me, and it lines up with what Jill was saying this morning. It says, praise the Lord for what he's done. Destroyed the works of Satan. And so you were just gonna, and it's all over to the African beat, and so I'm dancing around the house. Praise the Lord for what he's done. Destroyed the works of Satan.
Amen. Amen. Woohoo.
I had one word this morning coming into church. Seriously. Value. God told me to tell the church to value each other. I love you guys. Seriously, value each other for who we are. We're from different walks of life. We're old, young, whatever. We need some more young people. But value us. We're all on the one team. We're fighting together. Not against each other, but we're fighting together. We've all got our position to play. We're a team. Doesn't matter who's got the ball, as long as our team has the ball. You like that? I like it too. Praise God. And they will know how great our God is.
Amen. Come up, Janet. You can come and sit on the...
They just caught the ball. Yemenia shemalari menenina masikarina baroshimana kadikari sigarato. Ai noia noia manasho malena manaso. Ashmayako mayako. I love you, my children. Don't doubt that. I love you. I know that you don't walk exactly as I would like you to at times, but I still love you. And if you listen to my word, I will correct you, and you will walk in peace and harmony, one with the other. Thank you, Lord.
So that hymn, part of that song, Christ Alone, I knew part of it from a long time ago. And it was actually, parts of it were penned between 1797 and 1873 by Thomas Mote. And it's in that hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And the refrain is, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. And this one, particularly for me, his oath, his covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all my around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay.
Amen. Oh, that's beautiful. Hang on. Joe and then Michelle.
Just a thought that comes to mind is the scripture that says that it is in Christ that we live and move and have our being. It is he who keeps us. We don't keep him. If we do not abide in the vine, you're cast out as a branch that withers. So abide in the vine.
Amen. In the...
Just where we were worshipping and singing that last song, I was reminded of a word which I received at a church many, many years ago when I was going through probably the worst time of my life. And it was this, and it was in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Thanks for those words. They're so encouraging. You know, and I had a really tough week this week. A very good friend of mine passed away yesterday. Some of you would remember Brenda. She came to church for a while, and I think I've sort of been a support person to her for 25, 30 years. And in the last 12 months, she's gone downhill with dementia. And then yesterday she passed, and I had this dilemma because I got the call last Sunday afternoon, and I spent a lot of time on Tuesday and then a lot of time on Wednesday with her at the hospital and then Thursday morning as well. And then I had to go to Sydney and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. You knew this was going to happen. You knew these plans that I had and that I had to go. And I thank God because Mandy, actually Brenda's daughter, came over from WA and she was there. And I'm like, Lord, I want to be there. And he said, no, the perfect person is there. And it just gave me peace, and I know it was quite hard for Mandy to be there on her own, but God, Mandy knows the Lord, and Brenda did too, and so we know that she's in a much better place. And no more sickness, no more terrible body, no more dementia, a beautiful mind and a beautiful heavenly body. So that's where she is. So it's been a tough week, but that song just reminded me that if we're anchored, you know, it's okay to be sad and to grieve. That's normal and we need to do that. But when we're anchored in God, he can get us through any storm. Amen? Amen. Okay. I think we're up to the prayer time. Where's Jill? We're going to pray for some things as we do. And if you have anyone on your mind right now, you can just commit them to the Lord as Jill prays. Thanks, Jill.
Good morning. Scripture I felt to bring is from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And down in verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Hallelujah. And today we're going to pray for family and friends of Brenda, who passed away yesterday, for peace and comfort for you, Mandy, and your whole family. We're going to pray for Renee H. for peace and continued healing for her. For Stephen, for peace in his home. We're going to pray for Renee S. for peace and comfort, for salvation for the family. We're going to pray for Natalie for healing, and for Scott for salvation and healing. Okay, so let's join our faith together and pray for these precious people. Thank you, Lord. Father, we honour you, and we're so precious to be those, we're so thankful to be those children of God whom you love as precious, whom you adore and whom you died for. And Father, we thank you for this day, for each one of those that we've mentioned, Father. And I also ask people that those you've got on your heart, someone not mentioned, just think of them now as we pray. And for all those, Father, that are on our heart, we give thanks for the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for every man, woman and kind, and every man, woman and child, more than enough for salvation and wholeness and healing for each one. And I thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. These precious people are healed, and we honour you and give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Jill. I forgot to pray for the tithes, didn't I, Steve? We can do that right now. We can do it right now. And for those that, you all know the drill, there is the box up the back for our tithes and offerings for those that don't do internet banking. So, Father, we just commit every dollar, everything that comes into this house, Lord, we don't look at it even as money, but we look at it as giving back to you what is yours. Everything came from you in the first place. And I thank you that you are able to do great and marvelous things, more than we could ever imagine with that, when we're good stewards and when we honour you in your word to bring the tithe into the storehouse. And so I thank you, and I thank you for your blessing, and we will bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so I've got some announcements. I just want to say good morning. Oh, yeah, what? Ross. Yeah, Royce is going to come up in a minute, talk about men. I just want to say good morning to my husband. He's on Zoom today. I think he was yawning a while ago. Lee caught him yawning, took a photo of him and sent it to him. Said, wake up, Brownie. He's got to work night shift tonight on Picton Road. So he's already up there and he'll be sleeping soon so he can get through the night. So he's there. So good morning, darling. Okay. Great things. Our YouTube channel, thank you to Mel, is done. All right. Now, you would have had the link this week, but we worked, or she worked out, don't even give me any credit here, that you need a Gmail account to do it. And it's like, oh, not everyone has one of those. So I spoke to John Garrard through the week, and he's a big techno in Canberra at our BMI church. He said, now, I can put a link on your website. So once he's done that, his mum passed away this week as well, and I didn't want to pressure him. So he's going to get onto that this week. So I will let you know via email how to get on there, and you'll be able to watch it. And it's amazing because Steve's the first one that's going to be up there because it was videoed last week. So you get to see Steve again if you missed it. And I think you'll be able to go and watch any of them, but Mel will tell us later. Okay. Next Sunday, we've got Rod Klimanok coming. He turns up Wednesday. He's staying with us for a week. And he'll be doing the men's brekkie, which the men are going to talk about. And he'll be preaching next Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. Okay, craft, the craft group. If you're crafty and you never join, you can go and join the girls with Liz and Janet. And if you've got any questions, you can ask them. They start about 9:30 tomorrow. And girls, it's our monthly morning tea on Friday at the Botanical Gardens at 10:30. We're going to carpool at 10 for those Maruya and South, and we'll go up together. So I hope that you've given Liz your RSVP for that. Okay, now, when I mentioned about Brenda passing away yesterday, I'm going to have a memorial service for her tomorrow morning here. For those, anyone that knew her, And because Mandy's here and she's going back to WA on Tuesday, and I thought, we can do that. We can have a little, just a little lovely time where we can pray, play a couple of her favourite hymns and some scriptures and have a little chat about her life. And so it'd be very simple. There might only be half a dozen. And Brenda's cousin is coming down as well in the morning. So if anyone that knew her and that would like to come, we'll just sort of sit in this little bit here, 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, okay, just to honour her and say goodbye. Bridges for Peace, which is the prayer for Israel, is at 2 o'clock today at Loris's home. If you're there, that's great. Now, just something that I want you to keep in mind. I'm not sure if you get the email. Some of us do. The government, and I'm not sure it's the federal government or the Canberra government, so don't quote me, I have to read the email. They want to take over the Calvary Hospital in Canberra, which is a Catholic hospital. There's two of them. They want to take over because obviously the Catholics don't believe in abortion or euthanasia, and the government don't want that anymore. They want to take over so we can go under their rules. And so it's getting really, these things are, you know, they're coming fast at us, aren't they? You need to be aware of these things. I get the emails from the Australian Christian Lobby and the and Lyle Shelton, so I keep up to date with these things. But, you know, these are the things we need to be praying for. And so in the next week or two, I'm going to have another prayer and worship afternoon or morning. I'll let you know through email when that is. And we're just going to come and we're just going to pray for these things. We won't have an agenda. It'll be some worship and then prayer. And get on our knees for these things that matter to God, you know, for our nations, because, my goodness, we're going downhill fast, aren't we? All right, Royce, you better just come and you can do it from there. Go.
I'll do it from here. This is Waldorf and Stadler for those who know what that means. No,
what?
Okay.
Missed that.
It's
what? Say it again.
Sorry, we're Waldorf and Stadler for those who know what it means.
Gotcha.
Tuesday night at Men's, we're actually going to do the next session in God's Purpose. And so we are going to be talking about God's promised kingdom as it's shown throughout the Old Testament and after the fall, the lost kingdom, and then we'll be going to looking at how he's promised through the whole Testament. Dennis.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, just a reminder about men's breakfast. As Julie said, next Saturday, 8 a.m. at Julie and Graham's place. Bring friends, welcome, and let me know if you wouldn't mind today. If you can just give me some numbers.
8 o'clock, is it?
8 o'clock. Yeah, and we've got a working bee 10 o'clock on Thursday, just to help clean up a few things around the preparation for it for Saturday. So if you've got any time, 10 o'clock. Just for a couple of hours on Thursday at Julie's place, Julie and Graham's. And car rally, remember, 17th, just a reminder, if you haven't put the date aside, right, it's going to be a great day. Challenging.
Yes. Challenge on. There's one more thing I'd like to do. Debbie Brown. Debbie's last day for a little while because she's going to get some new knees, correct? I think it's knees. And so she's going to Sydney and obviously she's got some recuperation time. So, Debbie, I'd like you to come out and I'd like you to pray, and I'd like Sylvia to come out as well and pray for you, because you're part of us. You're our family. You know, we're just going to miss you, darling. I just want you to know you're loved, and we'll be praying for you for a speedy recovery and that you come back to us real soon, okay? I'm going to get some oil. Even if you need to sit, that's okay. No, good. And would you pray? Will I get some oil?
Lord, we come before you today and we lift up Debbie to you. Lord, she's faithful, wonderful, and she's learning and growing every way that you talk to her and every way you lead and you direct her. But Lord, at this time she's calling out to you and asking for you to be with her as she gets these new knees. Lord, be with the surgeon. Be with the anaesthetist. Be with the nurses who are there. be with everyone who is going to have anything to do with her. Lord, let her witness be strong. Let her tell all those of how you have been in her life and how you've helped her through these things. So, Lord, I just ask that you be with her right now, that you touch her from the head to the toes, and she has a peace in her heart, right from the heart, your heart, a real peace, a real rest, to know that she's in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you.
Thank you. God's with you.
We are going to miss her. And we got a lady that was with us for a little while, Christine. And some of you met Christine, and the ladies met her, and she got a job at Jindabyne High School, and unfortunately we didn't get to officially say goodbye to her, but yeah, they come and they go, but so long as you're planted in God, that's the main thing, isn't it? All right, it's my pleasure to... Oh, children, thanks for the reminder. Off you go. Beautiful. It's my pleasure. We have a new speaker today, and I'd like to invite Sylvia to come up and share with us today. And I know you're going to be blessed. And so, yes, give her a cheer. That's it. Anything else I can help you with? No? Okay. There we go. Over to you. Is that mic okay?
It's crackling a little.
Should I swap? And I think that, what was those names? Yeah, they were the Muppets. Is that right? Yeah, so if you turn around, yeah, that was them.
Do you want more water? That'll probably do. Yeah, I think so. All right, good morning, everybody. The Lord has directed me this morning to bring a word on the potter and the clay. God being the potter, us the clay. Now, I know it's a children's word, or usually is, so you talk to the children, but God's brought some things out that I hope will bless you and you can receive. We'll just have a quick word of prayer. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the words that you give me, for the hearts that we receive, that not one person leave this place today without receiving something from you, just what they need. I ask this in Jesus' name. Right, we look up Genesis 1:26. And it says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. The word here is us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had a part in making us, mankind. And he has a part in our lives too, today. Each one, a separate part. Now, the scriptures I have are New King James Version. Now, who is God? Who is our maker? Who's the one we look to? I'll quickly buzz through some of these for so you have the continual flow of what's happening. So we say, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, we know, the great I am, the one who is and was and is to come, is always there.
always will be, the unseen God, Yahweh, the God that is there for us, who is so hard to describe because he's so awesome and he is everything. Then we've got God the Son. God the Father sent him to earth to be born as a baby, to live and die upon the cross, taking our sins upon himself. That if we repent and ask him for forgiveness of our sins, he will be faithful to forgive us our sins. Now, we heard a lot of this at Easter. Julie brought some wonderful words. And we understand who the Son is. Then we have God the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left the disciples to sit on the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for us, he told them to remain in Jerusalem and wait until they received power from on high. The Holy Spirit is the power in our prayers, in our life, in our walk. He's the active part of God. We'll look up Luke 24, 46 to 49. Then Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." There's your power. In the Old Testament, we read that the Holy Spirit came upon man. Not within, upon. John the Baptist was the first who was born from his mother's womb. He received the Holy Spirit. Trying to find my place. The Holy Spirit works in us. He's the one that tells you when something's not right. And you get this feeling inside and you think, something's wrong. It warns you when you're about to go somewhere and you really shouldn't be there. And you get this hesitancy about it. Bring it to God and say, "Am I to do this? Where am I to go there? What am I to do?" And he will lead and guide you and stop you when you're not. I don't know how often we've been on the road and you feel your foot come off, and I've often looked at Gordon to say, why is he slowing down on the road? And then all of a sudden a roo comes across. Or we've been travelling and we got held up somehow. And you think, oh, we need to be there by such and such time. And then you hear afterwards that there was a car accident that would be just then when we'd gone past. And there are so many things that you can witness to where the Holy Spirit has led and directed and guided you. I'm going to tell you an example of a neighbour of ours. This is Philip and Diane. When we were at one stage of our life, we lived next to a congregational manse, and they were a young married couple that had just finished Bible college. This was their first appointment as pastor or minister it was. And, they came in one morning just after they'd arrived and said, "Can I talk to you?" So we sat down with him and he told us a story. He said, Diane and I fell in love in the Bible college, decided not to get married until after we'd received our diploma. And, that was good. And they were coming home one day and Philip was behind. They went their separate ways. And as he was driving in the car, he saw an accident just up ahead. He thought, "I'd better stop here and see if I can help." And, as he got closer, that car was Diane's car. And he pulled up, raced over, fell to his knees next to the driver's seat and saw a horrible sight. Sorry. Still gets me. And he got down and he prayed. On his knees, he prayed. He cried out to God. And as he was crying out to God, he heard these words. And he hadn't heard those words before. He didn't understand those words. He was speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit had touched him. Now, he was taught in the Bible college at that stage. They've changed their way of doing it now. That wasn't right. But he was so distraught at what he was seeing that he kept praying. And then another man came up. The neighbours had already rung 000 and there was an ambulance on the way. Anyway, the man races up, said, "Put Philip out of the way," and got down and he says, "Don't worry, I'm a surgeon. I can help here." And sure enough, he worked on her and went with her in the ambulance when it came, went into the hospital, arranged for an operating theatre to be cleared, went in, did the operation himself. Now, he was a very well-known surgeon, and they found out afterwards he shouldn't have even been there. Yeah, he was running late, coming home from the hospital. It was a special birthday or something like that he had to be there or wanted to be there. And so he just thought, "I'll take this shortcut." And, of course, on the shortcut, he was needed. Unfortunately, he didn't make the dinner. And very quickly, another example, personal one this time. I was teaching in Forbes, about 38 kilometres out of Parkes, all of a sudden, after lunch, I had the Holy Spirit in my head. I was still able to teach. I was still able to do what I had to do in the class, and yet I could have the tongues were going. What on earth? What's happened here? No mobile phones at that time. Couldn't find out what. I was just aware. Anyway, when I got home, I found out that my dad had a fall, broken his hip, and had been raced into hospital. Just about the time the Spirit started to work. These are powerful things. These are the things that take us through difficult situations, that lead and guide us. We all need the Holy Spirit, people. We all need the power that comes with it. He says, "Power from on high." That's for us. We need to flow in the Spirit, exercise the Spirit, exercise speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, there are people here that can help you to go through in this. Now, this is Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And there's a little bit of a problem sometimes of people understanding how we can have one God in three persons. And some people say, well, you can be a father, you can be a son, you can be a husband. But that's one person with three names. A very good example here would be the egg. You've got an egg yolk, an egg white, and an egg shell, but we call it an egg. And this is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, separate, very necessary to each other, but one God, three persons. And the Holy Spirit is a person. Point two, the potter. Now we know who our God is, who's making us, who's moulding us. The Father says, okay, I'm going to make a vessel. And he goes out and he says, okay, I'll get a piece of clay. Interesting, clay can come in white, yellow, brown, red. And mixtures of the above. And so he goes out, goes to where he's got this clay. It's just for what he wants, particular about this clay, us. Takes a lump of clay the size that he needs and brings it in. Puts it in a big vessel and he pours water in it and stirs it. Now, water. Yes. And as he stirs it, there's some flotsam coming up, little bits and pieces, little impurities. And he scoops these out and puts them aside. And he tips out the water and then comes back and fills it up again. This time he stirs it and he makes it just right to go through a sieve. Because we have little stones in our life that when the water of the word gets mixed with these things, they need to be sieved out. The little impurities that we might have picked up as a child, little things that hang on, little things that are hard to get rid of, hard to kick. And the devil comes and he'll give you a push with that. Ah, but... No, but God can take those stones out. He can sieve so that you are pure and ready to be made into a vessel. Then he takes the clay, pours the water out, and leaves it for a little while to dry out. When it's just the right consistency, picks it out, puts it on the bench to work it. Now he moulds it and kneads it. But you can't have air bubbles in the clay because when you put it in the kiln or things get tough, like in the fire, those air bubbles will expand, the air in it will expand and it'll break that vessel, sometimes shattering that vessel. And I look at this and I think, well, some people have bad tempers. Some people get frustrated and they lash out. Some things just don't go right and they let everybody know about it. And usually the closest ones to them are the ones that get hurt the most. So, okay, we don't need air. And then he'll get it and he'll slap it down on the bench. Why? Because he's aligning the particles. We've got to know that we're aligned with God. that we're walking the right path, that we have a good and steady way to go. Word says, this is my way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the left hand and to the right, this is my way, the straight way. Let's look at Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter, and we are all the work of your hand. So thinking of God as the potter and us the clay, now we're ready. We're ready to be made into something beautiful, a special thing. He cares intimately about how you are made. Right from your mother's womb, remember? Every step of your life is important to him. So he makes the clay into a lovely bowl. Yes, but you've got to start somewhere. So, makes a ball. There are many different ways of doing a pot or a vessel. You can have pinch pots, coil pots, wheel pots, or pots made on a wheel. Coil pots, yes, you make a coil, a long sausage, and you roll it round and round. And it's one way to make a pot that's going to be large, that you don't have to get your hands right into. A pot perhaps to hold water or oil, maybe wine. The pinch pot, small, easy to handle, something that you can pick up and use every day. Wheel pots, that's where you have many things made. You can do them almost the same. So it's mass production. Matthew, you'll know all about this. So, yes, but this one we're going to say, it's a pinch pot, because God takes his hand and he works us. So he holds a bowl of clay in his hand and then he gets his thumbs and pushes them into the centre of the clay. Not too deep, otherwise it'll be too thin and will crack. Not too far up, because the bottom would be too heavy and too difficult to use. And then he starts to work the pot up, works it up, pulls the clay up, and he gets a little paddle, gently pats it. It's very soft at this stage, and this is to consolidate the clay and to take any little lumps and bumps out. You ever been patted by God? Many times, but gently. He's making this. He cares for this. He cares for us. Bit by bit, okay, works us up, fixes the rim, makes sure that's okay. And then he needs to have this, it's ball, so it's a little bit unsteady. Takes it, slaps it down on the bench. And this makes a base. Who's our base? Jesus. If we sit firm on him, we won't fall. Though we fall, he will not be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. We won't fall. Okay, now we've got a nice solid base. So what are we going to do? Well, he thinks this one's going to be a jug. So he hits it and he pulls the spout. You might put a handle on it for easy use. I'd like to think that perhaps I might be made as a jug. God can pour in the top and I can pour out from the spout. But I think we should all be jugs in one way, because we can take people's prayers. Thank you, Jill. and we can pour it into the vessel and we pour it out to God. We are the one that is the channel to sort of say, here. I don't like that word channel, it's used elsewhere, but that's what I mean. So bit by bit, little by little, we come into our own. But now he needs to sit us on the shelf for a while. This is like a proving time. We got to dry. And this is a time where you think, well, perhaps nothing's going to happen very much. But this is an important time. And God never leaves us or forsakes us. Not for 1 minute. He has to keep an eye on you while you're sat on the shelf. You can't dry too fast, otherwise you'll be damaged. So you sit on the shelf for a while. And then when you dry, next comes the kiln, the fire. But why? So that we are strengthened. That pot is brittle. It doesn't hold water, it doesn't hold oil. We can't hold the Word of God, nor the Holy Spirit, which are likened things. So he gets us, puts us in the fire. But he puts us in cold. Then he lights the fire, and gradually the temperature gets more and more and more. But he's watching. Every second he never leaves you, he's watching. And then he'll come, say, okay, this is just right. Down comes the temperature. Have you been through the fire? I think all of us have a time when you can say, that was a dreadful time and everything seemed to go wrong. Yeah, we had a time when everything seemed to go wrong and not necessarily our fault. In fact, I don't think any of it was. But we lost people. We had sickness. The family left, went in all different directions. And there were so many other things that all came at once. Yeah, we've all, I think, been through the fire. But when we come out, we're stronger. We're stronger. We know what it's like because God won't let anything happen to you. When we came out, he protected us. Little things all the way along the line that he did to lift you up and to give you confidence and to know that everything was okay, that he was there. 101 little things. And you look for them and you expect them because that's God. And bit by bit now, okay, we've been through the fire. We're strengthened. Now, this is the time for glazing. You've got to sort of have this, and this is a beauty thing. Oh, I mustn't forget, there's another way of firing. It's called a pit fire. And you put your pots, your vessels, into this with different timbers. And as you light it, then the colours come up into the vessel. But it doesn't get as hot and it doesn't hold water. And these are, I liken to people that are always looking at themselves, self-centred, beautiful to look at, yes, but people that are centred on their physical, their way that other people look at them. Thank you, Sue. And really they're only suited to sit on a shelf. They can't be used. They can't take the water of the word. A leak. They can't take the oil of the Holy Spirit. They just sit there and look pretty. But that's one thing that we aren't. We're doers. We're doers. Now, glazing. Yes, we just put a glaze around the pot, the vessel, and that is to help protect it. And God carefully puts it round. But he's very careful. It's not to go on the base. That's Jesus. That's his. It just goes around the top so that we have a strong base. If it did go on the base, it would stick in the kiln and the vessel would be ruined. It would run and you'd stick it. I've had something happen with one of mine. I took a long time doing this particular vessel. And, I put too much glaze around the outside and it ran down and it ran on the base. And I lost it. God's very particular. He won't let it run. He has it just the right thickness because he's watching you. Right. So what are we used for? For his glory on this earth, to spread his word on this earth, to witness of him, as we read, to be a light that shines in a dark world, and it's getting darker. And also, not only for this life, but for the next as well. We're going to rule and reign with him. When he comes into his kingdom, we're going to rule and reign with him. And this preparation is like teaching children, going to university, school, right from the beginning. He's bringing us through, teaching us, leading us, guiding us every particular way. And he never leaves us. And his love will never leave us. So have confidence, people. You are precious in his sight. He took time to make you just the way you were. Praise him. Glorify him. And today, if there's any little bits of impurities, stones, or anything that is hanging on with you, God can take those out. You don't have to live with them. He is our God, our Maker, our Creator. Praise God. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you. There were some real gems in that, wasn't there? God being our potter. Well, I've got a beautiful song that follows right on from that. And we've got three songs. And you can see it if you like. They're just beautiful songs. They're older songs. I've just felt that they were fit for today. And then through those songs, if anyone would like any prayer, I know that Sylvia and even Gordon would love to come and pray with you. So let's just take this time to let anything that the Holy Spirit is in you, stirring up and telling you things or, you know, pointing out things, take note, listen to the Holy Spirit because he's very wise and he knows everything, doesn't he? So thank you for that message, Sylvia. That was really lovely, really special. So I just invite you to take this time now to worship. And don't forget, the prayer line will be open. Thanks, boys.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh. My heart, oh God, may I be like you. You